Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
Amen. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to continue a sermon series entitled The Race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin in verse 24 and verse 25. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one," somebody say only one, "gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." How many know if you run, you might as well run to get the prize? If you run, you might as well run to win the race. In verse 25, it says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last." But listen to this. "But we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So what God is saying is, I'm giving you some incentive to run your race well. God is not saying, I want people out on the track who are not putting out the effort. I'm not wanting people who are running the race who are not trying to win. I want people who are running to win the prize. And if you do it well, then you're going to be rewarded forever and ever in eternity. So if you're going to run, somebody shout. Come on, somebody say it. Run to win. Look at your neighbor and say, you better run, baby, run. So we're talking about how to run our race well here at Unity Church. The first week we talked about preparation. We talked about preparation and how we first must join the team. Just like Marcus did this morning, he decided to make Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior. And so he's saying, hey, I'm signing up on the team. I'm asking the Lord to call the shots in my life. I'm putting my place in a place to where I want God to be the authority in my life, and I want to live a way that is pleasing to him. And then we talked about how we got to suit up. Somebody say suit up. I can tell I'm going to have to pull you along this morning, okay? But that's okay. We can do that. You got to suit up. And the way we do that is we suit up. We are clothed in Christ, right? And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to succeed. So God's saying, hey, if you sign up to run the race that I've called you to run, I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit who is going to enable you to run well. And so we talked about this. And also, we talked about how we must study the course. I think a lot of people are being led astray in our churches, and they're told, hey, if you sign up to follow Christ, if you become a Christian, everything's going to go well for you. Everything's going to be smooth and easy, and God's going to bless you, and he's going to prosper you. And all of those things are true. However, we must also remember that we live in a real world. Somebody say, this is a real world. Listen, we are not exempt from troubles. In fact, the Bible says, hey, in this life, there will be many troubles. And so the race is not something that's smooth and easy. It's a race more like a cross country that has a lot of hills to climb. How many's ever climbed some hills in your life? You know what I'm talking about? Where it's just an uphill battle. How many's ever been in an uphill battle before? It's an uphill battle where there's some potholes where you're running your race, man, and you're smooth, and you're looking back at the enemy saying, na 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 boo boo, and then you fall into a pothole. How many's ever done that before? Right? It's like, I didn't see that coming. But we serve a God who says that he will make the high places low, and he will fill in the valleys, and he'll fill in those potholes. And even though there may be a pothole, he's going to lift you up, and he's going to say, hey, you're not over yet. Somebody say, my race ain't finished. The fat lady hadn't sung yet, and God ain't done with me yet. All right, now listen, we talked about preparation, then we also talked last week about perseverance. Preparation and perseverance. We talked about conditioning. How we've got to go through a time of conditioning, and how God will allow us to go through some things in life. But what he's doing is he's building endurance. in our character. And He's developing that character in our life that will sustain us. We talked about last week how the character gained in the valley of hardship will sustain you on the mountaintop of luxury. And so we've got to allow that character to be developed in us. You may say, man, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this, but I know the one who's going through it with you. I know the one who's walking right there with you. And I know the one who's never going to leave you, and He's never going to forsake you, and He's going to help you through this thing. Can somebody say amen? But it's conditioning and it's endurance. You know, I don't think, now I grew up watching Mike Tyson, people like Mike Tyson and you know, these awesome boxers. And I don't think these guys just decided, hey, I'm gonna hop in the ring and I'm gonna box like heavyweight boxing kind of thing, right? Is that right? Heavyweight boxing, is that a thing? Is that right? Okay, whatever. You know, he didn't say, hey man, I'm just gonna hop in the ring. You know what he did? He started to train, right? Rocky, dun 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 dun, right? Okay, and so he's training, man. He's going through strict training, and he's going through all this stuff, and he's building endurance so that when somebody gives him a right hook, guess what? He doesn't fall down. That's the point of boxing. You get beat up, but you don't fall down, right? Sometimes I think that's what Christian life is like. The devil's over there going, bam, 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 right? And we're saying, is that the best you got? Right? But you cannot get to that place until you have allowed God to develop your endurance. Here's what I'm convinced of. As you mature as a Christian, I know I'm taking some time on this, but I feel like the Lord kind of spoke some things to me over the weekend about this particular topic. But I think as we mature as Christians, I don't think our problems begin to fade away. I don't think we have less problems the closer we get to Christ. I think that our problems just become less of a big deal. Do you understand that? I don't think we have less problems. I think our problems become less of a big deal because the things that used to move us do not move us any longer. They don't move our faith, and we say, you know what? This happened to me, or I'm going through this, but my God is bigger than all that, and He's worth it. He is worth it. Somebody shout, He's worth it. So we have to understand that we may go through some conditioning, and we may experience some growing pains. We may experience some growing pains. We're experiencing growing pains at Unity Church right now. The church is growing. We've got more people. And with more people, with more adults, we get more kids. And so now Donna's saying, I need children's workers, right? That's called growing pains. We experience growing pains. And hey, that's an awesome thing. If you're going through growing pains, do not despise it, but embrace it and understand that you're doing exactly that. You're growing. You're growing. So the Lord started dealing with me. And I got really convicted because one of my mentors talked about how, you know, that they're doing 70 or 75 push-ups every day, you know? And it's nothing for them to drop down and do 70 push-ups. And I'm like, man, I can't do that. And I could sit here and I could whine and moan and groan about not being able to drop down and do 70 push-ups. Or during my prayer time in the mornings, I could start dropping down and doing 5 push-ups, 10 push-ups. 15 push-ups, 20 push-ups. Listen, I think I started at 5 or 10, and now I'm doing 25 push-ups. I may not be doing 75, but I'm doing 25 push-ups during my prayer time. And so, and now my family's doing it. They're getting on the floor and doing push-ups. Even Pamela's doing push-ups in the mornings, or in the evenings. Sort of. And so, that's an inside joke. But if you want to be ripped, right? And you want big guns, not bang bang guns. I'm talking about guns. You know what I'm saying? Like some of these guys up here in the front. You know, you got guns. You know, oh, I wish I could look like that. Well, maybe you ought to start living like you want to look like that, right? You put down the Twinkies and the Ding Dongs and you start eating some kale and broccoli and some energy products, and you, not the fake ones, the real ones, like the God made, right? And then and you start dropping it and do something about it. We can look in the mirror all day long and we say, we want to be like this, but until we allow our body to go through growing pains, we won't ever experience anything. And so sometimes in life that comes in the form of hardships and trials and struggles. And God's saying, hey, if you can endure this, I'm trying to develop something within you. I don't believe God is the author of your troubles, but He will use your troubles, because the Word says that He will work everything out for the good of those who what? Love Him. And so God will work it out for your good if you will allow it to. Now, got to move on. The last thing that we talked about Wednesday night is sometimes you just got to get back up. How many felt like you just fell down before? Like this young lady we heard about today. You know, there's times where you just fall down and you can either stay down or you can get back up and you can run your race. And so sometimes we've just got to get back up. Today we've talked a lot about the prize, about obtaining the prize. Today we're going to talk about the prize. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive and well for us today. God, I pray that you speak to every heart and change every life. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Can you give the band a hand this morning? Amen. The prize. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says this, and we've been reading this all month long. It says, Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? If I know there's a prize, how many of you know I want to know how to get it? Amen. If there's going to be a prize, I want to know how to get it. So run in such a way as to win the prize. In 25, it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So we're talking today about running to win, giving it all you've got. Giving it all you've got. Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says this, whatever you do, somebody say, whatever you do. Look at somebody and say, whatever you do, like get the finger out, whatever you do. Come on. No. Y'all didn't grow up in the kind of house that I grew up in where there was a finger. Now, I said, my parents had this word, man, and it was, You knew they were serious. You knew they were serious when they start talking to you like they talk to a dog, right? And so and they would say, here. Has anybody ever heard that before? Here. I said, I don't even know what that means. I like to see that in here now. And that finger would come out. So I want you to look at somebody with some southern attitude and say, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Man, if we could take this scripture as Christians and apply it to our life, man, I think our problems would go woof. They would go from up here, overtaking us and overpowering us to here. Because you know what? Now we're doing everything with all of our heart. Well, Pastor, you don't know what kind of boss I got. They mean. Well, are you working it with all your heart? Are you showing up at work on time? Are you giving it everything you got, man? And you may be, and you may still have a boss that's mean. Well, praise God, God's building some endurance in your life. And so now you can put a smile on your face and you say, hey, you may be treating me cruel or harsh, but I'm giving it all I've got and I'm doing it as working for the Lord. So now I'm not working for my boss, I'm working for God. You may have a cruel ruler, or a harsh ruler, or, you know, in the days that the scriptures were written, we read about harsh rulers who had slaves that were working under them. And you know what they instructed them to do? Work with all your heart. Give it all you got. Be faithful, because you're not doing this for them anyway. You're doing it for God. I believe with all of my heart, if you have a job, a place of employment this morning, God gave it to you. So work as you're working for the Lord, not for human masters. You know why? Because if you do it for people, you're going to burn out. because people are going to let you down. And you know what's going to happen? People's going to forget to come and say, oh, Pastor Quay, you're doing a great job today. I just want you to know, man, the way you open up service, the way you pray, man, it moves me and it shakes me and it gets me ready for worship. And I just appreciate what you're doing today. People forget to do that. I'm telling you, we're people, and we forget, or we forget to thank the people who cook on Sundays and Wednesdays. Can we do that right now? Can we give them thanks right now? We appreciate that so much. If you do it for human people, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to get aggravated, you're going to get let down, and you're going to quit, and you're going to give up before it's your time. But the Lord says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. We tell our kids this all the time because we really believe that if God, they will allow something to develop within them that says, hey, I'm not doing this to get a good grade. I'm not doing this to make my dad happy. I'm not doing this to earn an allowance. I'm not doing this. It's whatever you do, you're doing it for God. Then your reward is not what you're going to receive on earth. The thank yous and the I appreciate yous, even though we need to be doing that, right? But it's not going to be for that. It's going to be for what you're going to experience in all eternity. Colossians 3:24 says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So I'm no longer working for my paycheck. Because your paycheck is never going to be enough. You may say, man, if I could just make $100 more a month, I can promise you it's not enough. It's never going to be enough, but I'm no longer working for a paycheck. I'm working for a reward that I'm going to receive in heaven. Can somebody say amen? Now, boy, you guys were shouting better last week. What happened? Sometimes you just have to press through. Sometimes you just got to press through. Pastor, it's not easy. I know, man. What you're going through is hard. It's difficult. It's like swimming through peanut butter. But if you will press through, press through. The Israelites had to press through the wilderness. They had to press through their hardships, and many times they wanted to look backwards at what they had left behind, and they began to glorify what was in the past, and they began to play a movie in their mind. As Stephen Furtick said not long ago, they had a movie in their mind of what things used to be like, or how things used to be easier, and they completely forgot. They deleted all the scenes where their backs were being beaten, and they were being enslaved, and the food was being withheld. And listen, I'm telling you that we forget about those things, and when we're going through the hard time, we want to turn around and go backwards. But I believe the Holy Spirit's saying to somebody, and I believe it's a direct word for you today, you've got to press through. There is blessing on the other side. Look at somebody and say, there's blessing on the other side. You know what? There may even be blessing on the way. Well, we got the Ten Commandments that we live by in the church. Where did they come from? In the middle of the wilderness. Moses experienced God's glory, not in the promised land, in the wilderness. Whew. I felt anointing on that. That wasn't even in my notes. That's bonus. Philippians 3:12 says this. I can't move on. I gotta talk about that for a minute. Can I tell you the best revelation that I've ever received from God was in the wilderness, was in the darkest places of my life when I felt like I was alone and nobody cared about me and nobody understood what I was going through. That is when God would show up and it would just be a little nugget. And man, it would be so awesome. And it's things that I live on today. Things that I have built a foundation on. Your foundation is formed in the wilderness. I'm telling you, man, there is blessings on the way. Look at somebody and say, keep pressing through. I feel like God's going to bless somebody even today. You may be in the midst of a hard time or in a dark place, but man, I'm telling you, God is going to bless you even today. God's going to give you a touch of his glory today. I believe that with all of my heart. Can somebody give God praise for that? Come on. I know it's not profound, but I believe that's for somebody. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says this, not that I have already obtained all of this, or that I have arrived at my goal. Paul's saying, hey, I hadn't figured all this out yet. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He's saying, hey, I mess up, I fail, I haven't got it all figured out yet, I don't understand even all that I'm telling you to do, but the one thing that I do know is that I'm going to continue to press on, because the day that I give up or the day that I go backwards is the day that I lose the prize that I've been working so hard to obtain. And so I'm going to do everything that I can to obtain the prize. I'm going to press on, I'm going to press through, and I'm going to take hold of the prize. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. There may be some failures, there may be some struggles and some disappointments and some things that pull you down and pull you back behind you. But can I encourage you today, if you can get tunnel vision and you can say, hey, I'm moving forward and I'm going forward and I'm going to put on the blinders and I'm going to stay on the path that God has marked out for me, because the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So I'm going to press on and I'm going to fix my eyes on the prize that is before me, and I'm not going to let the past hold me back. Man, it may be hard. There may be some things back there that you hope nobody ever finds out about. But I've got good news for you. It's behind you. It's behind you. You're not going back there. Look, Moses killed a man. He was a murderer. He had blood on his hands. And you know what God said? You're going to go back and you're going to free the Egyptians. And that thing that is behind you, that thing that is your past, that thing that holds you back, is not going to hold you back any longer, because the same people that you are angry with, the same people that you risked everything for, you're going to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. But you got to live that thing that's in the past behind you. I didn't want to come back to Magnolia. I felt like God had delivered me from Magnolia. I'm just being transparent and honest this morning. Man, I don't know how many times we said, hey, we're in Kentucky, and we said, man, we are never going back to Magnolia. I said that over and over. Pamela said that over and over. Man, there were just some things back here that we didn't like. There was some church drama that we didn't want to be a part of. Well, now I'm being real. There were some things back there that we said, I don't want any part of. But you know what? God said, no, you're going to go back. And the things that were behind you, the failures and the disappointments and the mistakes that I had made, those things are not going to dictate your future. You're going to leave those things in the grave. Okay, I got to move on. Forgetting what is behind. And I love this word, and I hate this word. And I almost looked up a different translation so I wouldn't have to use this word. Go on to verse 13. Go back to 13. Forgetting what is behind and straining. Well, I just want to move forward with ease. No, he said, I'm going to I don't even want to say it again. Straining. Some of you look like you're constipated. And you've been straining too long. straining. Nobody likes that word. Oh, God, I thank you that I get to serve you today. And I thank you, God, that you're going to bless me. And I know that you're going to be my head. And you're making me the head and not the tail. And I'm going to strain for you today, God. Yes! I'm going to strain. You know what that means? You're going forward, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's kind of like the Weather Channel guy. You see that this week? He's straining. Have y'all seen this yet? He's straining. Oh, it's never been this bad before. And there's people like walking behind him. But he's braced, right? That's what life is like sometimes. That's what life's like sometimes. People are just strolling by you like it ain't nothing. But you know what you're doing? You're in the middle of a battle that nobody even knows about, and you're having a strain. Sometimes it's a strain just to stay where you're at. The thought of moving forward is a little unbearable because you don't know. There's things on the behind you that are pulling you back, and God's saying move forward, and you're doing the sway thing, and it's a strain. But Paul says it's worth it because in verse 14 it says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has what? Called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So it may be a strain and it may be a struggle, and the things you're going through, it may be tough and it may be hard, and you may be swaying with a storm, and you may be, but listen, if you press on, you are not pressing on to nothing. You are pressing on to a prize that Paul says is worth it. I count it all joy. The strain, the struggle, the hardship, I count it all joy. For which God has called me. He has called you for this. He has called your name. Like the draft, he's called, Jaron, I want you to do this. I want you to be a part of the family. I want you to run the race. Listen, I'm picking you. Come here. I'm picking you for the team. I'm picking you for the team. Now you're on my team, and you've prayed the prayer, and I'm clothing you in this nice little snazzy suspenders. And now you're clothed and empowered by the Holy Ghost. Now look, you're going to run, and you're going to run with everything you've got. And I'm calling you. I've chose you. I picked you from the team. I thought about Mikey, but then I was like, no, I want Jaron. And so I'm going to pick you for the team. I don't think Mikey's got what it is. So I'm going to pick you for the team. And I want you to run. And I want you to run well. And I want you to succeed. And there's a prize. And listen, there's a prize. There's going to be like Krispy Kreme donuts at the end. And all you can eat. All this stuff. And there's going to be a prize. And it's going to be worth it. But you're going to have to strain. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some hills to climb. There's going to be some potholes. But listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm going to run right beside you. And I'm not going to leave you. And where there's a mountain too high for you to climb, when there's a mountain too high that you can't climb it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lower that joker. And we're going to put some dynamite on it. We're going to blow it up. And we're going to keep going, right? Amen. Give Jaron a hand. Come on. Give him praise. Look at somebody and say, you're called. And the prize is worth it. Look at somebody and tell them, say, the prize is worth it. I want to talk for a few minutes before we close about the winner's mentality. Can y'all give me just a few more, please? I'm wrapping my part of this series up today. The winner's mentality. Because I don't think we as Christians many times have the winner's mentality. I think we walk around defeated, discouraged, disappointed. Lots of other words that start with D that I can't think of right now. Duped. How many's ever felt duped before? But how many knows God wants you to have the winner's mentality? And that you've got to see yourself as a winner. If you ever watch professional races and things like that, man, before the shot fires, man, and they take off, right? You don't see guys down here, man, they're like, I'm never going to win this race. I might as well go eat some Krispy Kreme donuts. No, man, they've got a winner's mentality. Man, I'm about to blow smoke in somebody's face. I'm about to blow this thing, and I'm about to win this race. And we've got to have that. I love this guy's face, man. He is about to take the prize. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. I love the way that the Lord tells us this. You're not just a conqueror. Go to that scripture. You're not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. That means you're not going to win by just a one step ahead. You're about to blow this thing out of the water, because the one that is living within you is capable to win the race and to win it well. God has destined you to succeed. Before you were born, before he called you into salvation, he destined you to succeed. He said, hey, this is a winner right here. This is a winner. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, but thank God, he gives us the victory over sin and death, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why most of us are still entrapped in sin? It's because we wake up every day and we've bought into the lie that, well, I'm just going to fail today. Well, it's another day. I'm going to sin. How many of you ever heard the saying, before the sun goes down, you're going to mess up? Or we sin every day. These are Sunday school lessons that have been taught in the church. Can you show me in the Bible where it says that by the time I wake up in the morning and the time I go to bed at night, that I'm going to have to sin somewhere? It's not there. So we wake up every day. Well, I'm just human, Pastor. Well, so am I. But Paul said, every morning when I wake up, I'm going to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow him. And I'm going to crucify the flesh, that human flesh, and I'm going to follow him. Now, does that mean you're never going to mess up for the rest of your life? I'm not saying that, but I think we need to get rid of the mindset that, hey, I'm just human, and it's another day, and I'm going to sin, and God's going to have to forgive me, and I'm going to sin, and God's going to have to forgive me. How about we start living like we have a winner's mentality, that we have victory over sin and death? We think God gave us victory over death, but we forget that he gave us victory over sin. You don't have to lie. You don't have to cheat or steal. You don't have to look at pornography. You don't have to commit adultery. You have victory over sin. Somebody ought to give God praise for that. That ain't me. It's just the Bible. Victory over sin and death. Quit living like you're a loser. I'm talking to myself. I'm like Paul. Hey, I hadn't obtained this yet. I haven't taken hold of it yet, but I'm pressing toward it. I'm pressing toward it. Can somebody say, I'm pressing on? You are not subject to sin any longer. You can walk in victory. Deuteronomy 28:13. Some of y'all are going to go home and say, my pastor said that he never sinned, and that we ain't ever going to sin, and that because we're Christians, we ain't ever. No, I'm telling you, better be pressing on and walking like you're in victory. Can somebody say amen? I don't have to do this. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:13. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. We love that part. I'm the head, not the tail. Don't you be making me the tail. Don't you be making me the tail. Don't you try to put me below when I'm supposed to be on top. No, no, no. It says, if you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. And if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. That is what you call a conditional promise. A promise that comes with condition. Seth, if you mow the yard and you trim the bushes and you weed the flower bed, then I will pay you $5. He said, I'll pass. You'll pass on supper too. And so, if you do this, then that's what you call a conditional promise. But we like to live life like God's just going to make us the head just because he said he's going to make us the head. And he's, you know, and that he's going to bless us just because he said he's going to bless us. It's conditional. His grace and his mercy and what he did for us on the cross and his love, that's unconditional promises that we have from the Word of God. But making us the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Listen, that is a conditional promise. I've seen Christians who are living like the head, that they start having a loser mentality and they begin to slip up in sin and forget the things that God has called them to do, and they become the tail just like that. How many of you have ever seen Christians? They're living like they're the tail. Oh, y'all just don't know the people I know. I don't know. Can I tell you something? And I mean it. You are a winner. Look at somebody and say, you're a winner. Now look at somebody else and say, act like one. You're a winner. Last thing, if the worship team will come. You need a winner's mentality, but you also must stay the course. You got to stay the course. Can I tell you, we must be diligent in avoiding distractions. Galatians 5:7 says this, and I hope you come back. Listen, not all messages are hard like this, but I got to preach the truth and what God gave me to preach. Is that okay? Galatians 5:7 says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? There was a time where you were running and you were running well. What happened? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Can I tell you that it may be time today for some of you to get rid of distractions? Distractions come in all kinds of forms. But if it's hindering you from running well, then you need to let it go. You need to let it go. It's like the 14-year-old boy who, man, he was so excited. He got picked for the track team, man, and he was blowing everybody out of the water, and he's running. He's running, boy, and he's kind of got the strut in his step at this point. He's so far ahead of everybody. And then he looks over to the right, and there is this fine-looking woman. She's 15, grade ahead, cheerleader. And she's over there, you're looking at him, so far ahead of everybody, and she's smiling, and now he's doing this. And now he's in somebody else's lane, and he's slowing down, and guess what happens? Everybody flies by because he was distracted. The enemy will put some beautiful things in front of you in order to distract you. You got to get rid of them distractions. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. There's so many truths in here that I can't unpack it all today, but I will on Wednesday night. I'm telling you that God is wanting you to run your race, and he wants you to run it well, but one of the keys is that you're running your race and not someone else's. I can't run Robert's race. Yeah, but I like what God's doing in Robert's life. Yeah, that's because it's Robert's race. I like what God's doing in Jesse DePlantis' life, man. People just walk up and hand a man money. God, why can't that be my race? Because that's his race. And don't you be judging somebody for their race either. Woo! Sometimes we look at somebody and say, well, if I was them, I would do this. You know what? You're not in their race. They're running their race. The race that God has set before you. I promise you, he's called you to run the race. He's empowered you to run the race. He has equipped you with everything that you need to succeed. And the Bible shows us that he destined you for greatness before you were ever born. Make sure that distractions in your life, the things that are holding you back, the things that are drawing your attention away, the things that are keeping you from pursuing God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Listen, that is the first and greatest commandment, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and what? Strength. Listen, I'm telling you, God longs for you to run your race well. If there's some things in your life that's distracting you or hindering you or pulling you back, get rid of those things and run to win. Can somebody say amen? Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Would you stand with me all over this room?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.